All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 76. So we got a lot of current events coming up, some things to foreshadow. And I think first things first, Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. Saturday, the pay-per-view was on Thriller, $50. Will I be buying it? For the meme, possibly. Most likely, I will be finding a stream. Please don't monetize me for saying that. But, yeah. That's big news. We'll be talking about that later on. So, a couple of things I know it's been talking about a lot about the Olympics and a lot of matches going into it. So, you know, obviously we talked about Gable at 125 kilos. We talked about David Taylor at 86. I think weight class we haven't talked about that I think is going to be decently interesting this year is 97 kgs with Borjid Sajulayev from Russia, Mohammed Hussein Mohammadian from Iran, Kyle Snyder from the USA. And, you know, a few other guys, right? You know, a lot of people come saying, does Snyder win gold? You know, I could go in all the technical analysis. Might I say right now, no. Right? We'll talk about that more as we go into also. You know, some other big things happened. I think we talked about the world team trials. If you guys haven't seen that episode, go check that out. We might go into depth if I get some questions about it. But who knows at this point, right? So.
Yeah.
You know, let's start off with Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. So you can get started.
If you think Jake Paul wins this fight, you hate combat sports or you just don't know it. I am so – okay, no. I have been legitimately – listen, boxing has been dead for, like, a while just because of, like, this YouTubers coming in shit. And I know that some people are like, oh, it puts eyes on the sport. It puts the worst possible eyes on the sport. Not people who actually appreciate it for what it is. They just want to see these people fight. Jake Paul is not a professional boxer. He may be by definition, by technicality, but he's not fought any actual fighters. His camp has shown that he just does not know what the fuck he's doing. Am I going to deny that? Maybe he's passionate about the sport. Sure. But it partially feels like just some rich kid wants to play cool. Ben Askren is an actual fighter. He is an actual combat athlete who has been in there with the best and has only lost twice. And I want to point to his Robbie Lawler win. Jake Paul is not knocking him out. Robbie Lawler, a killer for the past 20 years, ran a goddamn bus through his face, and Ben did not get finished. If you think that a dude who takes punches from Lobby takes – fuck, I hate this dude's name – who eats punches from Robbie Lawler like their breakfast, then you just don't know – anything about this.
So I'm going to jump in right here.
Pick him up and throw him on his head. That's what I want.
All right, I'm going to let you get right back to it, but I'm going to jump in right here. You seem pretty passionate about this. But, you know, all right, we're going to hop in. Again, sorry if my voice sounds a little bit messed up, guys. You know, I might have COVID. I got to test tomorrow. You know, don't worry. I'm fine. I don't think it is, but, you know, we're just playing safe at this point. Quarantined in my room at home. But, you know, there's a lot that comes to who's more famous, Jake Paul, right? You know, I know that's we all view Ben Askren as like GOAT status on like social media influence wise in the wrestling community. You know, he had, I think, his 855,000 followers on Instagram as I just checked. I mean, like,
he's pretty fucking funny.
He's top tier in social media influence. Like, who do you have up there in social media influence, right? You know, obviously, you have UWW.
Gable, RBY.
The two big sources, right? Not even that low. I mean, Ben Askren's 855,000. Jordan Burroughs has around 690,000. Sajulayev has about 1.1 million. Hassan Yazdani has about 700,000. And those are, like, the only guys I'm really talking about. You know, Jordan Burroughs, I think, is the only American wrestler with any sort of say. And that's just because he's been so big of an ambassador for sport. And he's been so dominant for so long, right? Ben Askren's 855,000, most from that. I think he's gained over 200,000 since he signed the contract for his Jake Paul fight. He's been invited to, like, so many things. You know, these are all to get your brand named out there. Obviously, a good amount of them are just their fanboys. But you also have to assume that, like, a good amount of these people that are rooting for Jake Paul, you know, a lot of it comes to picking by appearance, right? If I were to show you a picture from, you know, heavyweight, let's throw his back, Rulon versus Karelin. I would ask you who won this match. Who would you say? You know? That's exactly where it comes in. Yeah, I also Gorilla. Wouldn't say Ben is that bad of a body. I wouldn't say Jake Paul is that great of a body. That's just probably more of an exaggerated response right there. But
that is one thing that's always tripped me out. Like, everyone always talks about, oh, Ben wasn't really in that great shape. He wasn't really in that great shape by wrestler standards, which is just freaky. Because if you look at him at 74 kilos, he's lean. He's like, you know, chiseled at 74 kilos.
I think the one guy you can compare him to would be Bo Nickel, build-wise. Just like it's not like
a jack.
Not really. Not like bodybuilder. He's lean. He's like insanely. He's kind of like scrawny for the weight when you compare him to a guy like David Taylor, Zahid Valencia, Miles Martin, Gabe Dean. He's small.
I mean, those guys are all like broader in the shoulders, but
yeah, no, that's David, a big David part.
Taylor's pretty young now.
David Taylor's obviously. I mean, 74 was just too small of a weight for him. It's not a weight he should have ever been at.
Yes.
Also, you know what? Bubba Jenkins follows me on Instagram. Just found that out.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, yeah, but I'll let you go back to your rant now. Have fun
Fuck
with this.
Jake Paul. Fuck Jake Paul. If Ben loses this fight, mark my words on this Late Night Shots episode 76. If Ben Askren loses, I'm going to spend the next 10 years boxing just to punch Jake Paul in the face. Not even to like sign a contract. I just want to punch him in the face. That's all I'm going to do.
You got a clip for the TikTok right there.
I hope that when Ben wins, that Jake Paul will retire and boxing can kind of cut out with the like YouTube star bullshit, just because like it's a dead sport and this is just kind of kicking the corpse. And like it's like there's people who are like real fans of the sport. Now I'm getting this passionate about it. I'm just more passionate about combat sports in general. But you know, you want to be a fan of boxing, but it's got this problem. Like there's too many promotions with too many padded records and belts. No one wants to cooperate. Payday, like people use the payday negotiations way too much. So they'll just ask for higher and higher numbers until a fight gets called off. And this Jake Paul versus Ben Askren shit, it just bugs me because Jake Paul wants to, he thinks he's going to legitimize himself as a boxer by fighting an MMA pro that never really was known for his hands. Askren looks a lot better with the new hip. He looks fine now. Like he was like entirely stiff. He just could not move properly. But now, like, I mean, no, he's not like this incredible boxer. But
yeah. So yeah, and we'll hop in. You know, I want to look at this from strictly a marketing perspective, which I think people don't really pay too much attention to. Right. They don't care whether you like them or not. Their goal, they want you to buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They want to get sponsors. They want to make money. Ben's not doing this because he needs to prove anything. You may think that he may do anything. He's doing this because he wants money.
Yep.
And what is it, like eight figures? What's eight figures? Like 10 mil?
A million.
10 mil?
Oh, yeah, 10 million. Oh, sheesh.
10 mil. I would let Muhammad Ali sock me in the face. I might be in coma for a couple years, but I would let that happen for 10 mil. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference like, it's not all about money. It's not all about that. Money changes people, you know?
Yep.
And to be completely honest, I'm on Ben's side. Even if it was a mil. You know, maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm on his side. You know, you can give me 100 grand. I'll gladly go out and fight fucking Jake Paul. You know, like, you have to think about it.
Like a lukewarm can of Pepsi.
Yeah, like, as it's been said, though, wrestling is a blue-collar sport. There's not much money in the sport. And, you know, now that's changing, luckily, right? But only the top-tier guys can only really make a living. If you're not top 5, 6 in the country, you're not even getting a full scholarship. Unless you're one of these super highly touted recruits, you know, obviously, I know, talking about a lot. Greg Kirkfield, like Andrew Alvarez, Dylan Raguson. Those younger guys who are going to get to the next level, you know? Right, you know, these older guys, veterans making a little bit of benefits, you know? Obviously, run back to Minnesota, Tony Nelson, right? He's obviously going to get. They want to keep him there just like in price with Gabe. That's really what it is. And he's also two-time national champ, three-time national finals. He's done more than Gable has, yeah, except for making an Olympic team.
Yeah.
Right. To say that, not only he's sold out, you know, your biggest part of your personal brand is Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You know, maybe TikTok if you're on all that, you know. I think it's really been underestimated as a platform to gain money, gain subscribers and all that. I think Ben has done it very well, right? You know, and it's, you have to consider, it's kind of a win-win for either wrestler, because no matter who wins, it can be written off either way. Jake Paul gets, yeah, his ass kicked. Oh, Ben's literally a former UFC fighter.
Yeah, so like,
Jake Paul's a nobody.
Actually, I saw someone did point out that like, Jake Paul has kind of like everything to lose, just in the sense that, and I know you just said like, no one really loses because like, oh, he's a former UFC fighter. Ben has like no hands.
Like, yeah, no, and that's why he can be written off the other way, right?
Like a real boxer, then he gets he gets embarrassed. But yeah, if Jake Paul loses, yeah, he lost to a UFC fighter with zero hands, and by all means, kind of an old man combat sports wise.
Here we put that into perspective, right? Yeah. UFC fighter, whether he has hands or not, is pretty much irrelevant. It's going to be put down as UFC fighter.
That is what I've been saying.
No, no, no. What you have to understand, that's for marketing. That's not to make anybody look bad or worse, good or bad, right? You have to understand, everything they write and how they write it is done on purpose.
Yep.
For that fact in particular. If Ben loses, he has no hands. He's a washed up old man. He's not in the best of shape. Didn't he just have like surgery or something too a while back?
That was a hip replacement.
That surgery? I'm consider that surgery?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, if Jake loses, you know, I don't think Jake cares. Jake's gonna get more fights no matter if he wins or loses. Like, right, even if you won back to Nate Robinson, right?
Can someone concuss him already, for the love of God?
Bro, we gotta get Logan versus Jake Paul. Might as well. See, Logan's the one I actually like too. He's not bad.
Logan would beat the. Yeah, Logan's kind of all right now.
I mean, Logan's like, also like a good 30 pounds bigger, but.
Yeah, and an actual athlete.
I mean, they both weren't bad. Like, I remember Ben Askren was pointing out when Ben Darmstadt kicked his ass. I was like, what? Like, I get like you're trying to make a point, but Ben Darmstadt is like a legitimate good wrestler. Like, he's a whole ass D1 All American.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's where it just comes to like, you know, sometimes kind of stretch. I know Ben. Who's going to say anything about that for the sole fact that Ben's a two-time national champ and a four-time national finalist, right?
And pretty much the godfather of modern scrambling. Yeah. Along with Saitia.
I don't know about Saitia. Nobody really watches stuff anymore.
If you don't
know Saitia, you know I'm right too. There's so many old wrestlers, you know, and it even runs back to like Greco-Roman wrestling is the original form of the sport.
I thought it was the Greeks that freestyle first. No, because Greco-Roman was like some French dude found like old diagrams, and that was what they thought wrestling was. That's why it's called parterre.
Just listen to what I said. I'm not even going into all that. That's way too much right now. I heard this somewhere. We're just running with that. I just thought I would think of a cool fact. Whether it is or it isn't, right? You think of Greco-Roman wrestling. You think of the past of Greco-Roman wrestling. Alexander Grail. The Experiment. Alexander the Great. The Russian Bear. A man who had never lost. 788-1. Right?
Right.
You know? Rulon Gardner kind of just enhanced Karelin's legacy even more. You know, I think Karelin is just as...
I don't see it.
Maybe not in our eyes. You also have to realize, in Russia, because, hear me out, right? I know you said this back way back when, before we were talking about this, right?
Right.
Who did Jordan Burroughs beat in the 2012 Olympic Finals? Exactly. Who did Rulon Gardner beat in the 2000 Olympic Finals?
Alexander Karelin.
Exactly.
It's something about his staying power to say that he came in second. Yeah.
And the fact that he ended his career off a second and is still considered the GOAT.
Yeah, but if he had won that match, he would have been possibly the greatest athlete of all time.
You know, I still think there's a debate for that. I still think there's a debate for that. I just don't think it's that solid. You know, obviously, there's been a handful of athletes who've achieved the feat of three wrestling gold medals, right? Yes, yeah, Sayori Yoshida, you know, she would have had four, but Helen Marrillo's beat her. Kiyori Icho has four. You know, possibly a little bit easier weight class, but she still has the accolades with world titles. Mihan Lopez, you know, if he didn't throw world titles. You know, if Mihan Lopez wins now, I'll say it, I think he can get the edge over Karelin. Or, you know, at least they're 1A and 1B just tied for that.
Yeah.
You know, I think Karelin has done more after his career and during his career, like just like kind of Jordan Burroughs. Like, you wouldn't put Jordan Burroughs over John Smith or Bruce Baumgartner, just logical, from a logical standpoint, who's the best, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah, it's like you go to Russia right now. You know, I heard something like, if you want to talk about recency bias, putting Saju live over Karel is the epitome of that. Just by those standpoints, right? And I said somebody DM me today, right? He's like, oh, if Gable takes gold, he's the GOAT behind Karelin. And, like, it takes me, like, a lot to, like, to not get pissed about how much of a joke of that statement is.
I mean, I can see it.
How?
Saju hasn't lost.
No. They said if Gable wins, he's the GOAT behind Karelin. With Saju live, I wouldn't put him up there just yet, right? Because he still has that loss to Snyder, whether that's in bumping up a weight class or whatever, right? I know we talked about Yazdani versus Taylor. Like, Yazdani kind of bodied Taylor one of the matches, for a little bit, and then he gassed out. He did avenge the loss, and he has won every world title since, except for that one against Snyder. I think he just needs a couple more years to put himself in that status. Right, because I know we're off the rails here, but we'll just section this into this, right? The thing about winning one good gold medal is you're good, right?
You have to be good. Gold medal.
What?
I mean, one Olympic gold medal is pretty fucking good.
No. You have to be good. You have to be consistently good. And you have to be consistently good over a long period of time to solidify yourself as a GOAT.
Dude, how the fuck do I have a 101% in econ when I got a C on my last time? Oh, sorry.
I'm failing all my classes. Sorry. But, no, I'm not actually. I'm just failing most of them.
Thank fuck, Jesus Christ.
Right, and that's why Karelin's always going to be put over Lopez in that category until Lopez wins a fourth. Right. If Gable were to pop on the international scene, win a gold, and dip, the entire wrestling world except for us will write that off as a fluke.
Yeah, because, like, it's kind of the thing of, like, it's like, this is saying talked about, like, in a lot of combat sports, it's easier to get to the top, it's harder to stay there. That's why it's such a big deal when someone comes back and wins another Olympic gold or another world championship.
And,
right? Because everyone's trying to beat you.
And whenever somebody says that, like, it always sounds like I'm shitting on Gable. And because, like, Gable sees my story sometimes, and it's just, like, I feel bad, like, right? People don't realize, like, you know what I'm saying? Gable's on another level. Yeah, I'm like, okay, compared to Mason Paris, Tony Cassiope, these college guys, Nick Wazdowski. Like, who the fuck was Nick Wazdowski? You know, I know we all try to gas him up and that. You know, that's just to create hype for the matchup. Right, it all comes down to the fact that, like, Gable is dominant in the fact that he just scores a lot of points. He didn't have anything. He doesn't have anything special about him once you get to that level. When you talk about a guy like
among heavyweights, he moves really.
Yeah, so does Tahagul.
Yeah, see, because Taha is like the one guy in the world who can also pull that off.
Gino is very good at countering motion, too, so that's also going to be a problem for him. And Gino...
I'm honestly just excited to see those matches as, like, a fan of wrestling. Those are going to be incredible matches.
Gable is literally like a heavyweight Jordan Burroughs with a 4-in gas tank, is the best way to explain it. And that sounds so fucking weird. Athleticism-wise...
Does he score with double leg most of the time?
God damn it, dude. You're fucking bringing up random ass points. I just meant from an athleticism standpoint.
It's Jordan Burroughs.
What? Yes, Gable has a good double leg, if that's what you want to hear. Yes.
I know he has a good double leg. It's just that Jordan Burroughs...
Yeah, he's not lifting up 290-pound motherfuckers and just slamming them on their head. Yeah.
Dropping it.
If Jordan Burroughs tried to shoot a blast double with his head up against Gable Stevenson, he's snapping his neck. It's not that simple. You know, I know you saw Saran Francisco pick up this dude and kill the man. In the fucking highlight I made for him, but yeah. You know, even if we are talking about, like, guys against Correa, and I was watching Rulon Gardner. Rulon Gardner followed me today on Instagram.
Oh, sweet.
I told you about this. Yeah. It was wild, right? He sent me the link to the documentary you put out. It was on the Olympic Channel, right? It's called Five Rings or something like that. I watched it, right? Guys, when they would wrestle Alexander Correa, would pin themselves.
Yeah, because they didn't want to
Because they didn't want to get reverse body lifted and possibly paralyzed.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of pisses me off is everything that's made about Rulon always tries to make excuses for Correa, except for this documentary, which is, like, more neutral-sided.
Yeah, I mean, just he trained for that scenario. He implemented the game plan.
He also, interesting enough, something I also learned, which I did not know before, it's as much as I've already watched, Karelin normally warmed up for about an hour before each of his matches. He did not warm up for the match with Rulon Gardner.
Too busy doing interview stuff?
No, he just didn't.
Hmm. Why? Because he overlooked him?
Could be that. Could be because he already knew it was going to be his last ever match. He's kind of wanted to relax. I don't know what it is. You know, that's not something I think we're ever going to figure out. At least he comes forward and says something, you know. I think he's moved on to a different part of his life. I think what most people don't know, he's like a huge political figure in Russia too, right?
Yeah, he's like, I couldn't tell you what he is, honestly.
I couldn't either. I kind of watched every documentary about him. But I think this is a good gateway section into 97 kilos, I think, which you want to call as our second event.
97
kilos. Who's my champ right now?
Sadulayev.
I think that's good. Yeah, I mean, if you want to say it, that's cool. But, Abdulrashid Sadulayev from Russia, defending Olympic champ at 86 kilos. He beat Salim Yazar Salim, something like that, from Iran, I think it is, in the 2016 Olympic finals at 86 kilograms.
I think he checked him. I think
beat
he checked him,
6-0.
But I could be wrong.
6-0.
Oh, it's 6-0. I think it was a semis then.
Yeah, Sadulayev takes his way through a tournament.
Yep.
Right, and that's a 20-year-old Sadulayev. I think Sadulayev is either 24 or 25.
Jesus.
Meaning he's going to be 28 at the next Olympics, because next Olympics in 3 years. Right? Wins his third in 2024. He wins his fourth, he'd be 32.
Given how good the Russian system is whenever it comes to longevity, that's plausible.
Yeah. You know, something people have to realize is, like, the reason Karelin gassed out, you know, roids don't exactly do your conditioning and heart very well.
No, they don't. Neither does being a 6'5", 286-pound man.
Yeah, I think it was 120 kilos back then. I think he had to make 265. Yeah, because that's what I saw in the documentary. That's crazy that they want to make excuses, but they literally weigh the same amount. Because theoretically, it should be easier for Karelin to lift Rulon than Rulon to lift Karelin at that point.
It was 130 kilos back then. It was 287.
It's 286, but...
probably rounding up.
No, you have to do this.
See, it's just kind of weird that, like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's the Karelin lift. It just wasn't common at, like, heavyweight.
Yeah, it's 286.
It existed. Oh, yeah. It existed. It just wasn't very common at his weight class.
People are going off on my last post. But, I know, but you have to realize names aren't really given to people. I guarantee you somebody's done a low single before John Smith, right? It's always been named after John Smith here. Somebody's done a blast double for Jordan Burroughs.
I don't know. If the Russians weren't doing it, if the Russians had no idea what was going on.
Dude, Russians could literally be doing some of the weirdest shit during their matches. Like, I don't even know how to explain it.
I studied the shit out of the Russians.
Nah, I kind of like the Russians. You know, Iran is catching up. What's his Yazdani's younger brother too? Right. I think some people want to talk about is Muskaev in the last chance qualifier.
Do you have to win the last chance qualifier to qualify the weight?
No, but, you know, Muskaev, Kanchegishvili, who's the guy's name who starts with a B?
Bekbulatov.
Yeah.
Are they going to take a crack at pronouncing that?
Bekbulatov, is that what it was?
Yeah.
No, I'm decent with names. I just didn't remember it. Yeah. You know, what's the problem here? You know, who's behind all of them?
Muskaev has kicked the dog shit out of Kanchegishvili before. So they're on the same side of the
bracket. Yeah, you know, so have a lot of people at 65.
He's just not the same.
You have to assume, like, right? What happened when Yazdani bumped to 86?
Okay, that's different. I don't think doesn't look the same in that.
I would go as far as saying Kanchegishvili was the worst out of the Olympic champs in 2016 in men's freestyle.
Because if not for a bullshit call, Rei Higuchi would have won it all. Thank you.
Possibly, you know, Rei Higuchi doesn't make weight. That's on him. But, you know, pull the Jaden Cox real quick for us.
Dude, I think, I want Jordan Oliver to win because USA, but I also really want Muskaev to win just because he's so goddamn fun.
Yeah, I have Muskaev and Kanchegishvili taking first and second, depending on the seats.
At the Olympics. Oh, no, because Punya.
Yeah, Bajorin's taking the Olympics. Fuck you. Anybody who says otherwise can suck my dick. Yeah, but just in general, right? You know, Yazdani bumps up to 86. You know, obviously, Yazdani's a better wrestler than Kanchegishvili is. Sadulai is a better wrestler than they are. And you saw a correlation to an extent, right? Yazdani kind of handled Taylor for a bit, and then he gassed, and he started getting whooped.
Right? That's kind of just how American versus foreigner matches kind of work.
Yeah, but you also have to realize he was giving up a lot of mass. That also has to be said for something. And that's what Sadulai was so good, because he has the ability.
They were both 74-kilo guys, like, moving up. I mean, I don't think either of them were really completely filled out.
Yeah, but you also realize Yazdani was 74. David Taylor was a 74 because
he cut weight like a madman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best way to say it. You know, Sadulai was an 86. Sadulai, what makes him so good is he has a gas tank. And they're a very fucking good one at that. You know, that's always going to, you know, mean something right there.
Yes.
You know, even with a lot of this being said, like, how would you... You know, he lost a 6-5 match to Snyder. I think he only weighed like 91, 92 kilos. Giving up 11 pounds, a guy who is good as Scott Snyder.
He's known for his physicality. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's all that compared to the guys that are in the weight class now physically, but, you know, I think that's just because Muhammad Dean was so young when he wrestled Varner in 2015 and almost beat him.
How old was he? In his teens still?
I think so.
Fuck.
I think Muhammad Dean and Sadulai are in a league of their own. I think if Cox was there also, he'd be competing for bronze. You know, I would stand on that take, but if I say that, I get so much shit. But like, if I go to any, you talk to any international wrestler, it doesn't even have to be Russian or Iranian, they will agree with that take. That Sadulai and Muhammad Dean are consensus number one, number two. And 97 kilos.
Yeah.
The only argument that there is for Snyder is a gold medal in Rio. You know, obviously that's a pretty fucking good argument. And a world medal in 2017.
Goddamn good day.
And a medal in 2017, right? The medal in 2017 can be easily disputed. Sadulayev redeemed himself. Sadulayev also has a gold medal, so you wouldn't be able to write that off with too much of a fluke, even though he did catch Venom. Right.
If there's any man that's going to figure out how to tell Kyle Snyder how to beat Sadulayev, it's going to be Kale.
Yeah, 100%. You know, Kale, his Olympic champ at 97 kilos himself, I think.
84.
Or 84 or something like that. Yeah, he was around the same weight class. Coach, you know, some guy named Jake Varner, he might have won something there.
Varner's all right. I've heard about him.
Yeah, I know. The fact that people don't remember who Jake Varner is crazy, just because he lost to Snyder.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You know, that's kind of poor a lot of times. You know, when Snyder won gold, right?
Sure.
I would say I don't think Cox – I think there's a better chance of Cox not placing, to be honest, in 97 based on how he's looked. Be honest, Snyder too. No. I think Kale is the one guy who can get – fuck, did I say not play? I mean beating Saji Live or Mamadine, but
– Well, I mean
– if there's one guy who can game plan against those guys – You know, who's the one guy who's wrestled Muhammad? Who are the two guys that have wrestled Muhammad Dean in the U.S.?
So you said Varner and Snyder.
Varner, right? Where does Varner coach?
Nittany Lion.
And where does Kyle Snyder wrestle? You see how things are perfectly falling into place now?
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
like obviously, Saji Lai is the guy I think
who's
just.
Muhammad Dean.
Huh?
We're talking about two guys who have lost to Muhammad Dean.
No, Varner beat him.
Oh, you said he had a close match 6-5. Not that he. Oh, yeah.
Nice. No, 6-5 was Saji Live and Snyder. Varner beat Muhammad in 3-3 on Criteria.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I literally posted a TikTok on my page. Damn. But. Yeah, no, even with a lot of that, it's like so interesting because. You know, was it Sharipov was at 97 before?
Yeah, Sharipov.
Sharipov? Yeah. He's at 125.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. He fucking moved up? Damn.
I think so. Because Saji Live beat him. And I think, you know, if I was in Muhammadian shoes, do I move up to 125 and test my luck? No, I would say no for the sole fact that, you know, I wouldn't give Saji Live the edge of a title goal right now, at least. From what I've seen so far.
Oh, I want to see that match so bad.
Or Gino, for that matter, you know. What's his name? Kumo Gasemi? You know, if I post a video of him, what's that dude built like? Like an absolute nothing? Dude's built like the fucking Lorax. Is the best way to put it. But, you know, he beat the living shit out of Gino Petrosilli in the Olympic semifinals.
Oh, is that like the 5'6" dude? Yeah. At Rio?
like he's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, you talk about brains versus bronze. Like, he's the epitome of that. Like, him, Robbie Smith. You compare Robbie Smith, right, to Adam Kuhn. And you think, like, how did Adam Kuhn ever lose to that dude? And get 7-2'd.
Yeah.
You know, like, granted, you know, Kuhn was decently young. I think, what was he, a sophomore in college at this point? No, it's the easiest thing. Yeah. But, you know, I think Saji Live first, Muhammadine second, Snyder one of the bronzes. I mean, it doesn't really matter which bronze, but.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that's unless.
I'm going to turn on the light real quick. My Muhammadine,
eyes I think it's unless Muhammadine gets placed on the same side of the bracket as Saji Live. You know, then that becomes a problem, you know? See, a lot of things, I think if anybody may have a burnout run, you know, it's probably Kyle Snyder.
Yeah.
No, you know, like, who's the one guy that I think doesn't legitimately have a chance of meddling? Gilman. I mean, yeah, it just has to be said. You know, I think he can claim a bronze, but he would need, like, I wouldn't say a perfect run. I would just say very good run to claim that at this point in his career. I think we can both agree on that. Right?
Yeah.
I think a guy like Dake, a guy like Taylor is not going to have trouble getting on the podium. It's whether they can finish. You know, Taylor's not a guy like that, but I don't think he's going to take anybody for granted. He's very sound in his preparation. I think Dake is also, I think Dake more comes. There's a lot more talent with that weight class and a lot more depth of talent. You have Sidkov, you have Sablov, is that 74 too? Or is he wrestling for Russia or something? Doesn't he wrestle for like Azerbaijan?
Yeah, he transferred, I think.
Right. Chamizo cannot be counted out right there.
At 74?
I'm not counting out Chamizo. Sidkov
just
it's going to be a closer matchup than it was in 79, right? You know, I've said this before. I think I'll still stand on that. But, you know, they both did beat Jordan Burroughs in a recent match. Either way you want to put it. But I don't think Dick gets that guard to 74. That's all I'm going to say.
Why would he not get that guard range in 74?
Chimizu was giving him a good amount of weight. Did you see what Chimizu looked like?
Kyle is still the bigger dude at 74.
Yeah, and you also have to realize Chimizu relaxed. You have to realize he's still a world-class wrestler, and those small mistakes.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. But, I mean,
he relaxed.
Well,
Chimizu looked fat at 76 kilos. Chimizu was undersized for 74 at that.
Yeah.
At that point in his career.
I think he's a full-blown 74 at this point. His legs have gotten huge.
You know, at this point, not at that point.
Yeah.
You have to remember, and have you seen so many times before, foreign wrestlers come into the U.S., everything's against them.
Yeah.
How often do we see these top-ranked foreign guys lose in our country than proceed to whoop our asses outside the country?
Yeah.
You know, this guy named Bajrang Punya. Prime example of that, uses Tiani to beat the Chiefs. Okay, he beats Zane, beats Jordan Oliver, beats Joey McKenna. Comes back to the U.S., gets 6-0'd by Zane Rutherford. You know, obviously he won the 150 bracket, beat James Green, Anthony Ashton, and Pat Lugo, right? But let's be honest, who are any of those guys when it comes down to it?
Well, I think that's just a matter of, you know, they improved since they last met.
What? No, it's just like they can. It's just a different environment. You have to realize that. But yeah, if we run into Tokyo, how many guys there are actually going to be rooting for us?
Literally none, because they're not allowing foreign fans.
2016.
Unless the Japanese really appreciate like good wrestling, like people talk about. Like
I think the one country that actually likes us is Iran. The one country that likes us is Iran.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Who's the one guy who's going to be wrestling an Iranian? Most likely in the Olympic finals. David Taylor.
Sorry, pardon?
Who's the one guy who's going to be wrestling an Iranian in the Olympic finals? Yeah, they're going to be against us. Right there. Mm. You know, those things you have to realize. Like, when we're in the U.S., this is like saying, okay, let's send Gable Steveson to a tournament in Japan. Right?
Right.
Okay, let's send a tournament like Turkey or something. Let's say they're all in an even matchup right now. Right? You have like 10 people there from your own team. Their stadium's packed. They're all cheering for Taha. What's Gable's one thing that he thrives off of? The fans.
The crowd.
Mm-hmm. What's he not going to have in that environment?
The crowd.
Exactly. You know how many people were rooting for Bajrang to lose that one time?
Which one time?
Against Diani beat the streets?
Yeah.
What's his name? Kinshaka's really.
Was that the start of Yanni's momentum? Nah, winning the national championships in overtime. I mean, in terms of on the freestyle scene. Like,
that was not two, but, you know, that's cool and all. Where Yanni had a fucking jank-ass whizzer and was literally draped over the fucking body. That was fucking terrible. That was not two. I don't even care about your videos. But yeah, no, a lot of this is like, damn. But, you know, final opinions, does JO qualify 65?
Yes, he qualifies it.
I think
he qualifies.
I don't think so.
I think Musakaya beats his ass in like the finals, but
I think the first guy with the fucking B in his name. I watched a good amount of him. I don't see it. And I think Kachuk's really going to somehow
sneak by. Yeah, I don't see Bekalata really making a lot of noise.
I think Kachuk's really beating him, too.
Oh, well, Bekalata, yeah, he could be Bekalata.
See, we just have to realize, like, even if he doesn't qualify, he's mostly going to somehow get to the bid to the Olympics because somebody's going to fail a doping test. You know, which happens every fucking time.
Fair Fair enough.
You know how many times the USA hasn't qualified all of our weight classes and we kind of get stuff thrown to us because we're just next in line there?
I genuinely actually don't know a single example of that, except for, you know, we technically won the London 2012 Olympic wrestling after, like, that Russian fella got caught.
Nah, it happens a lot, like these world tournaments, everything. I don't know this person because they all get kind of thrown away because how many people are watching the wrestling Olympics if Russia isn't competing? A lot less, you know? Who are the two biggest countries in wrestling? USA and Russia.
Well, they're wrong.
I mean, they're on the come up. They're just not on the level yet. And they don't have the history behind it.
Egypt, they fucking love Greco.
What? I'm just talking about Egypt, right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's the two legacies. It's like, right, if you put it together, USA versus Russia dual meet.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I mean, what's the score technically be? Who's at 57?
Team score in freestyle gives me a genuine headache.
I'll just say 4 for attack and 3 for decision. And 2 for criteria now, one.
Yeah, because isn't it like, it's something weird. Like, if you get attack, it's more points. But if you get attack and they score some points, they actually get some team points. I don't know, man. It's so weird.
Oh, that's just makeup for Tekken Major. It's because you're not getting shut out.
Yeah.
Anyways, that kind of seems stupid.
Yeah, it's daft.
What was the other one? No, we talked about Jordan Burrow, 79 kilos. I think if you haven't listened to that one, it's the episode previous to this one. I think that one was a very interesting episode, to say the least.
It was, yeah.
Crazy we never did PSU versus Iowa.
Oh, we can do that next episode, I suppose.
Yeah. All right, I think that's probably it for today. So, you know, all right, guys, thank you guys for watching Lena Shots Podcast. It's been episode 76, and we'll see you guys again next time.
All right, peace.